Good. Awesome. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Happy Mother's Day to those of you that are mothers. I'm Jay Tremblay. I'm the stewardship pastor here. And some of you might be going, what stewardship? I know a lot of people, I get that question from people quite a bit. Basically, I handle anything outside of like adult ministry or children's ministry kind of comes my way. So anything administrative to the church, all the finances, communication, facilities, special events, all of that comes my way, as well as managing all of the adult kind of first contact ministries, ushers, greeters, you know, hospitality, all of those areas. So I have a lot of different hats that I wear every day, and it's great. I love it. I've been on staff here at Grace Chapel for 10 years now, and we've been going to the church for 16 years now. The moment we walked in the door, we have not been back to another church on a Sunday morning since. Grace Chapel has been our home from the very beginning, and absolutely love it here. My wife, Patty, we've been married 26 years now, and she is the executive assistant to both Pastor Steve and Pastor Mark, our executive pastor. We have two kids. Natalie is 24. If any of you have junior high or middle school kids, she volunteers in there every week. And then our son, Nathan, is 20. We moved out here from California. I was born and raised in California, in Sacramento, and we moved out here in 1998 and absolutely love Middle Tennessee. Found our home here most definitely, and just absolutely love it. Now, I come from a Catholic background. Anyone have a Catholic background in here? One person. You'll relate to a bunch of what I say. Everyone else, you might be like, what? I was born and raised Catholic, and I say I was born Catholic because there's really no choice in the matter. You are christened when you're very young. I was a month old when I was christened. Don't remember anything about it, but I was sprinkled with some water, and that's all I remember. Actually, I don't remember it. That's what I was told. I went to all Catholic school from kindergarten all the way through 12th grade. So we were very invested in the Catholic Church. And we went every single week, and I was an altar boy and did everything that I knew how to do being Catholic. But there was really something missing for me throughout that. I never really understood why I needed to talk to a priest to talk to God. And that's what was taught. There was no relationship with God. And I was always questioning that, never really understood it, and there was just always a check in my spirit on that. I didn't know what it was at the time until, you know, I was removed from it, and it was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But after high school, I basically stopped going to church. My parents had divorced, and they stopped going. I stopped going and just really kind of stepped away. The one thing I'm very thankful for my Catholic heritage, is I was taught who Jesus was. So I had that background, and I'm very, very thankful for that. But a couple years later, I met my wife, who was a Free Will Baptist. And growing up, I actually never knew there were other religions out there. It was, you were Catholic, and that was it. I mean, there was no other choice. So meeting her and her being Free Will Baptist, very, very different backgrounds, obviously. I went to her church one Sunday morning, and I was like, what is this? Because in the Catholic Church, it's very liturgical. You go in, it's 45-minute service. You stand up, you kneel down, you say a few prayers, you get a very short teaching on the gospel. There's a gospel reading and maybe a 4 to 5 minute homily describing what we just heard. And that was it. So that's all the teaching that we would receive on a Sunday morning. So when I went to her church, and there was 40 minutes of music and 45 minutes of a sermon, I'm like, what in the world? What have you brought me into? And then when I saw people starting to raise their hands, I'm like, what's going on? I have no idea. So I was very uncomfortable. But my wife was very uncomfortable in the Catholic Church too. So we were in quite a quandary. We got married in the Catholic Church basically to appease my family. That was the only reason. So after we were married, we didn't go to church. Because she didn't want to go to my church, I didn't want to go to her church. And it wasn't until our daughter was born that like, man, you know, we probably need to start going to church. So there was one worship service. Actually, no, this was before that. She started going to church. I started going to church, and we did that separately. And she took my daughter with her, and then I went to the Catholic Church. But obviously, there was something missing there. That wasn't what God designed for our family. So there was one service that we had gone to, and I went with her to church, and the only seats available were in the front row. And we walk in with her parents, so we're all sitting in the front row, and the worship leader was seriously, John, singing to me. I mean, she was singing right at me. I was like, oh, this is really uncomfortable. And the more I sat there, the more I got uncomfortable, so I got up and I left. Left my wife with her parents sitting there in the front row, and I went and sat in the back row of the balcony. I'm like, Lord, I'm trying to figure this out, and it's not making sense to me. So just so happened to be that that was a salvation message, and he was just getting a hold of me. It's like, you're a moron, in my terms, obviously, but this isn't right. You need to be leading your family. And right there, he did an altar call, and I came from the back row of the balcony right in front of my wife and her parents and accepted Jesus right there. And that was 1994. So life hasn't been the same since. It's absolutely wonderful. Love Jesus, love serving him, have a heart to serve. That's kind of how I became a pastor here. Let me back up a little bit. Before we started, after we moved here from California, we started going to a very small church called Calvary Chapel Franklin. It was over off Columbia Avenue, I think. I can't remember the name of the church there now, but very small, like 70 people. We were plugged in completely, serving every week, loved it. And then our friends, our neighbors had introduced us to Grace Chapel. They said, hey, we want you to come over here. And I'm like, no, we're set. We're good. We love where we're at. And we visited on a Sunday where there was a Sunday in the South picnic. It's much like the 4th of July event that we have here, just a big outreach, big family barbecue, and just a great outreach. And we went to that and absolutely fell in love with the people. It's like, man, this place is pretty cool. We should maybe check out Grace Chapel. But it being the dense person that I am, it took me a while to figure that out. Over the next probably 4 weeks or so, the Holy Spirit was just, I can't use another term, but accosting me. Everywhere I went, everywhere I looked, I saw the word grace. I would run into people that went to Grace Chapel. I'd be driving down Highway 96, and my head would physically turn down Old Hillsborough Road as I'm driving by. I'm like, what is this? Oh, God, are you know, trying to get my attention? Let's go try Grace Chapel. So we did that one Sunday, and the next Sunday we went back to our other church and said, we love you. God bless you. We're going to Grace Chapel, and haven't looked back since. When we first started coming here, though, have you guys been through, has Jimmy come through yet and talked about life groups? He did at the very beginning, probably. Okay. Can't tell you how important it is to get plugged in. It's great that y'all are doing this step class, because that's kind of a first step to doing that. But if you're not plugged into a life group or plugged into serving, I highly encourage that you do that. That's where it stuck for my family. By nature, we're kind of introverts. And when we walked in, we found the church to be friendly, but very cliquey, in a good way, I say, because everyone loved one another. And you'd walk in, you'd see pockets of people. We weren't really welcomed into that. It was, hi, how are you? And that was all great. But it wasn't until we got plugged into a life group to understand what was happening there. You know, God designed us to live life with one another, and that's exactly what was going on. It was wonderful. But it wasn't until we actually attended that first life group and I started serving that we made those connections. And now I see it's absolutely wonderful, and that's how God designed it to be. It's really great. So I encourage you, if you're not doing that anywhere, please do that. I could actually forego stewardship and talk about life groups and connecting for a while. That's how I started at Grace Chapel. I was the life groups pastor. And then I transitioned over to stewardship about 3 or 4 years later. Life groups and connecting is a big part of what I like to see people do, for sure.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Just real quick. What is your recommendation about the best way to go about finding the right life group or...
Yeah.
I mean, I've expressed interest in it, and I did get a phone call from the office, but I'm kind of not really clear on how to do that.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I'll start off by saying that not every life group is right for every person. And it sometimes will take some perseverance on your part to find the right one. Because there's obviously different personalities and, you know, not everyone gets along with one another the way that, you know, we need to or the way that we should. So if you go to a group and that's not the one for you, don't give up. Try another one. And what I would do, first of all, is go on the website and find out where your interest lies first. Is it you only have time on Sunday nights or Tuesday nights or Thursday nights? Drill down and filter down to those groups that meet on those nights. Are you willing to drive 5 miles, 10 miles, 15 miles? Drill down onto those groups that meet that criteria. And then you can see which ones are out there. And if you're still not sure, contact Jimmy, Pastor Jimmy, and he will hook you up with the right group for sure. But don't stop. Okay, that's the best advice I can give you is find that one that's out there. I can tell you, just to give you an example, when we were leading a group, and this is kind of how I became a pastor here, there was a family that had been coming to the church for about 2 months, and God just impressed upon my heart to invite them to our group, which I did. And about a month later, their son unexpectedly went to heaven. And it was right at Christmas time. They had no family here at all. His first call was actually to me. It wasn't to his parents or anything. Unfortunately, I was out of town, and I couldn't get to them quick enough. I was flying in. But I had contacted Pastor Steve, and I'm like, hey, I'm on my way home right now. I can't get there at the moment. We need to surround these guys. So I rallied our group. They got over there. I got there as soon as I got into town. And when I talked to Steve, he's like, you have to be their pastor right now. It was at Christmas. There was a lot going on here at the church. So we did. We kind of pastored them through that very, you know, tragic event in their life. And as a result of that came the closest of friends. Vacationed together, did life together outside of the life group. It was great, and it is great. So you'll find those connections in a group if you're looking for them, because they're out there for sure. So definitely get plugged in. Okay, does that answer your question? Okay, great. All right, so let's move on to our stewardship and talk about what that is. So stewardship is basically giving of your time, your talent, and your treasure. The very first section there, the truths about tithing. I'm going to go through these very quickly and then just summarize kind of at the end of each section. So number one, what is tithing? Tithing means a tenth or a part. It says in the word, honor the Lord by giving him the first part of all of your income. So a lot of people will ask, you know, is that on gross or is that on net? And if any of you have been here, more than a month, Pastor Steve went through a great teaching last in April, I guess it was March, about giving and offering. Did everyone hear that? Yes, yes, yes. No, no. Okay. So... tithing means giving your first fruits. So that's on your gross income, not your net income. If you're not there right now, if you've been giving on net or if you've been giving less than that, don't worry about it. You know, pray about it and try to get yourself there. The important thing is that you're giving and that you give cheerfully, that we're going to talk about in a second, and you give with a good heart. And really, tithing is about the heart. Anything that you do for the Lord is about the heart, whether you're serving, whether you're giving of your time, you're giving of your talents, whatever it is, giving of your treasure, is your heart in the right place? He doesn't need our money at all. You know, this is an obedience thing, and it's something that he's asking us to do. So what's the difference between a tithe and an offering, number two? A tithe is giving the first tenth of my income, which I just explained. An offering is anything I give in addition to that tithe. So if you want to give to a charity, if you want to give to like Mercy Ministries or Caleb or Way FM or any of that, that's awesome. That's great. You want to give to someone's mission trip, that's an offering. That's above what your tithe is. So you give your tithe to the church, your home church, and then if you want to make offerings on top of that, that's awesome. But it's on top of the tithe. Number three, what is the purpose of tithing? The purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your lives. Number four, when do I tithe? And that's going to be on a regular basis. Number five, where should I tithe? And that should be where I worship. You know, growing up Catholic, I was never taught the truths about tithing. My example of tithing was my dad. God bless him, every Sunday we'd come in and, you know, the basket would come around, he'd take out his wallet and throw a 20 in there. And that was what I thought tithing was. So, you know, I get married and start going to church with my wife and, you know, I take my wallet out and throw a 20 in there and I get a, you know, just little subtle look. Then we have a conversation about it later. She goes, is that all we're giving? I'm like, well, yeah. What do you mean? She goes, well, that's not really tithing. I'm like, well, what's tithing? She goes, it's a tenth of your income. I'm like, a tenth of my income? You've got to be kidding. I'm looking at our income. I'm like, oh, there's no way. There's no way. But over the course of years, I mean, we finally got to the point where we were tithing, and I'll talk a little bit about that a bit later. But I wasn't taught what it was. So I'm so thankful to be under a pastor that is willing to teach us the truth of what that's about. Going back to when I should tithe, and again, it's a heart issue. You should be tithing when you get paid, basically. But you don't have to be legalistic about that. Like if you get paid on the first of the month, set that money aside and pay it, you know, next time you're at church, or you can pay it online. We've got many avenues to be able to do that. But you don't have to be legalistic about it. You don't have to say, okay, I just went to the bank and deposited my check, and I'm going to write my tithe check right now. I have to do it right now. It's okay if you do it on Sunday morning when you come into church. It's all right. But the thing is, don't take away from your tithe to pay your other bills or to pay anything else. I mean, I can tell you, I'm going to save that for a little bit later. Sorry. So make sure that you're giving with the right heart for sure. The next section, why God wants me to give. Number one, my stewardship reflects my commitment to discipleship. Number two, giving makes me more godly. That's interesting. You know, how does giving make me more godly? If you look here, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So he gave us an example right there. He gave the ultimate sacrifice. So as we're giving, it's just something that we're following his example on. So we're modeling, basically, what he did. Number three, giving draws me closer to God. Number four, giving is the antidote to materialism. Number five, giving strengthens my faith. Don't let a lack of faith keep you from giving cheerfully or sacrificially. God can do so much more with the 90% than you can do with the whole 100%. He can pull you through circumstances that you have no idea if you would just open your hands and your hearts and give to him what's rightfully his. Because it's not ours at all. Everything that we have is his. He's given it to us. Someone give me an example of when God may have strengthened your faith through giving. Yeah, Cindy.
There was a time when I was so financially stretched that I was so, I could not make enough money in a week or a month to pay my bills or anything. Sometimes I would be looking at the end of the month, all my bills would be due, and there was not enough money in the bank. But if I made $100 that week, if that's all I made, I continued to tithe that 10%, And it was really amazing to me how all of a sudden, you know, I'd go to church one day and someone would literally hand me an envelope of cash and say, God told me to give this to you.
Yeah.
Those kind of things miraculously happened all the time. It was amazing. And just all in different ways it would come about, but it, my needs were always met somehow. And in addition, the Lord delivered me of a spirit of poverty, which was what was keeping me from, you know, like when I'd be fearful to give the 10%, you know, the Lord really spoke to my heart about that, that that's a spirit of poverty. You really believe that I'm not going to meet your needs. You really believe that whatever you see in your bank account right now is the answer, like that's all you're going to get.
Yeah.
But I have so much more, and all I ask is your obedience. And I will deliver you out of that type of thinking, and it's been really freeing. And then later on, you know, things changed dramatically for me, and I wasn't in that situation anymore. But it was a great discipline to handle what I have now that I would have never been prepared for before.
Right. Yeah.
So God was able to open up the doors of blessing over me, like, and knew that I had the discipline to handle it.
Yeah. Well, amen. Let's close in prayer, because that pretty much just summarizes class. It's like we talked beforehand, but we didn't. John.
Mine was recent. I've been out with my shoulder. You know, I worked for pretty good 4 or 5 months. And it was right after Steve talked about giving and everything. And so I realized I was giving out of net instead of gross. So I changed that up, which was an adjustment. And then there was one week in particular, right after he had preached on, when he talked about, you know, it was the only time God said, test me, do this and see if, you know, I don't bless you more than you can stand. So one week in particular, I got paid. Paid all the bills. I had $450 left for 2 weeks. And I was like, man, if I write this tithing check, I'm going to have like $200. Something's bad here. I got to do something.
Yeah.
So I kept thinking about it. The whole way to church, I was thinking about it. So I ended up writing it, sitting in church. And then right before I put it in there, I was like, nah, I'm going to keep it. Then I threw it on in there.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, that was bad. Like the whole way home, I think you'd stay home. So the whole way home, I was like, man, that was bad. When that goes through, I got like no money left for 2 whole weeks.
Yeah.
So Monday, I'm thinking about it all day. I'm like, man, this is so bad. I'm going to be broke. So then I come home. Now, Whitney stays home with the kids, of course, and she does hair sometimes or, you know, different things. Well, that particular day, I was worried all day. I was like, this is, oh. Got home. I didn't even know she was doing nobody's hair. There was like $250 laying on the counter.
Yeah.
And I was like, where'd this come from?
Yeah.
Like, oh,
I don't charge people. I just
say whatever
I use on them. I'm like, just pay me back for my product. And literally that day, it was like three people just blessed me. Like,
And
I didn't even know, like, till actually right now.
She didn't know this story.
Yeah.
No, she didn't know this story at all.
Yeah.
Because I just handed it over to him, and he was like, where'd that come from?
Yeah, I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, man, I put him to the test, and he provided.
And all three of those people that came that day were from Grace Chapel.
Yeah. That's great.
So it was just the connection all the way around.
Yeah, that's a sweet story. Awesome. Thank you. All right, number 6, giving is an investment in eternity. Number 7, giving blesses me in return. Number 8, giving makes me happy. All right, the next section here. Number 1, I give expectantly. Number 2, I give willingly. Number 3, I give cheerfully. And number 4, I give sacrificially. You know, looking at giving makes me happy and I give cheerfully. You know, when you're giving to God, how do you give? Do you give like John is like, John was obedient and he gave and he did it out of a willing heart. Do you give with closed fists? You know, like, oh, put that in the offering bag as it goes by. Is that the right attitude to have? Not at all, Right? Are you giving with open hands? Because if your hands are open, they're open to receive, right? If you're giving with closed fists, there's nothing there. You're not positioning yourself to be able to receive anything back. So giving with that willing heart and giving cheerfully and sacrificially, it all is positioning yourself to receive back the blessings from God. Pastor Steve talked about sacrificial giving, and I normally talk about that in here. I'm not going to go through the detail because he told you all of the stories of the long line of history that Grace Chapel has with sacrificial giving. It's wonderful. The people that go here get it, and God blesses you in return. So I'm going to talk just about a couple of personal stories about sacrificial giving. The one sacrificial offering that we had done back in like 2005, I think it was, when we had a guest speaker come in, and he taught us on sacrificial giving, and he challenged us that night to give sacrificially, not to any specific cause that we knew what it was going to be, but he knew what it was going to be. So my wife and I went home, we prayed about it. It's like, what did God tell you? And we came up with the same number. So we're confident. This is what God wants us to give. So we gave that, and it hurt. It hurt, just like you said, just that one offering. It was basically all that we had. But the Lord, we felt confident in that because the Lord told both of us that same thing. So right after that offering happened, on Monday, this is on the weekend, on Monday I got a brand new job. It was basically a promotion in the same company with a substantial increase, which was pretty much going to cover what we'd given within a couple of months. I mean, it was amazing. The next day, I was able to get a brand new truck. My car was dying, got a brand new truck like that. Later in the week, my wife's parents had loaned us some money for a business that she had, and they didn't know that we had just gone through the sacrificial offering, but we still owed them quite a bit of money. And she had just called us on Thursday and said, that payment or the loan that we've given you, it's paid. Don't worry about repaying it. Like, you've got to be kidding. All within a one week period, just by faithfully giving, that was all returned right back to us immediately. It was wonderful. From that point on, I was in on giving. That strengthened my faith so much. This sacrificial offering, my son, who's a full-time student, works part-time, living paycheck to paycheck, basically working for minimum wage. I was like, buddy, what are you going to give? And he goes, I don't know. And he never told me what he gives, but I'm the one that counts the offering, so I saw what he gave. And I looked at it and I went, oh my gosh, I cannot believe what he gave. It was far beyond, and it was through pledges, by the end of August, this is what he was going to give, far beyond what he had. And I'm like, I was still in awe, and I thought about talking about it. I was like, no, that's between him and God, and I'm just going to sit back and see what happens. And about 3-4 weeks later, God just threw this job right at him. Full-time job, amazing amount of pay. And he was working 20 hours before, so he's working 40 hours now, and just blew him away with this opportunity. And I had talked with him afterwards, like, hey, bud, do you know what happened here? He goes, what do you mean? I'm like, the timing of this job. I said, do you think it's a coincidence? He's like, why? I said, well, you gave sacrificially, right, at the offering? He goes, yeah. He goes, oh, you're right. Yeah. It's like God just blessed him in return. It's amazing what he will do. There are story after story after story after story from people in this church that have gone through similar things. And he might not bless you in return with a monetary gift right away. It might be something else. I remember one of the sacrificial offerings, my daughter, for years, she was a cheerleader and loved cheering, and she got into high school, cheered freshman year, and then she didn't make the team sophomore year or junior year, and it devastated her. I mean, she loved cheering. And then senior year, or I guess it was junior year when the tryouts were coming out, we had a sacrificial offering, And she gave all that she had. And a week or two later, they had tryouts, and she made the team and was nominated captain of the squad too. So, and she got it right away. She's like, "Dad, I gave everything I had." And right after that, it's like all of this happened. I'm like, "Yeah, you're right. God is good. So, test him, and he will come through for sure." All right.
Tie into that.
Yeah.
Like 2 weeks late, was it two? 2 or 3 weeks later, I got released like 3.5 months early on my shoulder too to go back to work.
Yeah.
So we've seen him about 3 times mm-hmm. in 2 weeks.
Yeah, so now like I'm never home when it's work off.
Yeah. Oh, but he's providing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was complaining about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I went from 0 to 5 pounds of a restriction to fully released in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's great.
Pretty amazing.
That's awesome testimony. All right, the next section, giving God my treasure. Ultimately, God is the one who provides me with all that I have. Number two, my possessions belong to God. He's provided them for me to use and steward. Number three, my treasure indicates or includes proper care of my body, John. Number four, I pay special attention to those relationships that God partners me with and those who share a common vision for kingdom advancement. Number five, when deciding where and whom to give, I listen to the Holy Spirit and obey. Number six, offerings which are given above the tithe may be given to the poor, to the needs of those in God's family, and to the advancement of God's kingdom and purposes. Pretty much touched on all that already. All right, next section, giving God my time. So we're going to move from finances, your treasure, over to time. So number one, time is a gift. We all have the same amount of time each day. What do I do with my time? Number two, I submit my time to God so he can order my day for kingdom purposes. Number three, I spend my time based on my values. My values determine my priorities. And number four, God has determined that one day in seven is to be a Sabbath. I want to park here for a minute. When you think about time, there are 168 hours in a week. If you were to apply the tithe concept to your time, that's 16.8 hours a week. Are you spending 16.8 hours a week with God? Just ask yourself that question. I get convicted. It's like, oh, 16, and you start adding it all up. I mean, I work here at a church, so I could include that, but I don't because, you know, if I were to look at any other person, you know, I'm not going to put myself above them by saying, oh, yeah, I work 40 hours a week at a church or however many hours it is, so I'm good. Not the case. So how much time are you spending in prayer? How much time are you spending in devotion with your kids? How much time are you spending at, say, a Bible study? How much time are you spending in a class like this? You know, how much time are you spending serving the church? All of that adds up, but does it add up to 16.8 hours? You know, if you want to get real legalistic about it, but we're not. But just, you know, how does that stack up against that? And, you know, you can come under conviction for that for sure. So I challenge you. If you're not there yet, think about ways that you can increase that time with God. Whether it's getting up a half an hour or an hour earlier or staying up a little bit later and spending devotion time with him, prayer time with him. If you're just completely crazy in your home life, if you've got a bunch of kids doing different activities, you know, where are your priorities? Are you sitting in front of the TV? Are you spending time with the kids? Are you out at soccer every single day? Do you have a child that's in like 5 sports? You know, think about all of those things, what that might be modeling for them. Where should their priority be? Should be with God. You know, model that for them, and they're going to be in great shape when they get a little bit older. But if you're not there yet with your time, think about how you can expand your time. Because once you expand your time with God, he's going to expand the rest of your week, and he's going to free up time for other activities for sure. All right, the next section, giving God my talents. Number one, God has uniquely created me and given me various talents, abilities, and giftings for his glory. Number two, I ask myself, what are the natural abilities God has given me? What are my acquired skills? Number three, I'm a steward who one day will give an account of how I have used what God has given me. So when you guys move on to the step two class, Myron's going to talk a lot about your spiritual gifts and where you could match up and how you could serve. So think about that even before that time. How can you serve God? How can you serve this church? We all have unique skills and abilities that he's given us. Are you administrative? Could you help out, you know, checking people in on a Sunday morning? Do you love kids? You could be serving in the kids ministry. Are you someone who has a gift of hospitality? We've got, you know, our kitchen ministry or foreign grounds. Do you just love people and want to talk with people and get to know them? You know, greeters, ushers. There's a place for everyone in this church. So think about, if you're not serving, where can you serve? And then even outside of the church, I give the example of talents that God's given. I have a passion for playing volleyball. I've been doing it ever since I got out of high school, and I absolutely love it. If I'm not spending time here at the church or with my family, I'm on the volleyball court. And before I was saved, I might not have been the best sport in playing, you know, volleyball. I might have been a person who taunted a little bit or used colorful language. But as I got saved, the people that I was playing with saw the transformation in my life. And I started using that as a platform to reach people. So when people would start asking me, you know, something's different about you. You're not, you know, doing these things that you used to do. Why? Oh, let me tell you. And there's this person named Jesus, you know, and it's just a great way to be able to reach people. So now when I play and I'm out there, I'm looking for ways to lift up people and encourage people. The volleyball group that I play with on a regular basis, they're like I used to be. So there's a wide open mission field for me there. And I use it. There are people that go to this church as a result of me having conversations with them on the volleyball court. And if I see someone having a bad day or just whatever, I'll stop them and say, hey, can I pray for you right now? People notice that. I don't know if you know, but people are watching you. If you profess to be a Christian, they're watching your every move. So how are you using that gift that God has given you in that relationship that you have with Christ? So find ways. Find ways to do that. Is there anyone, can anyone else give me an example of a gift that God's given you, a passion for something, a talent that he's given you that you use to try to reach people?
Non-believers in our business.
Yeah.
So we, you know, we try to be more intentional in terms of when we meet people, that, you know, they, just like your example in volleyball, if there's issues, we'll pray with them. And, mm-hmm. you know, last April we had a delegation from China. This gentleman came and he had some crisis back in China at work. And so I just said, you know, basically said, we'll pray, I will pray with you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Downtown Nashville.
This guy was never heard of Jesus, nothing, mm-hmm. no background. Within an hour, he accepted Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Front step of the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It was quite a miracle. Just,
that's awesome.
Just one thing that I'll pray with you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happened is one of his employees fell from the telephone pole,
mm-hmm.
200 you know, feet, and then was in the ICU. And then when I told him, I said, I'll pray with you. And then half an hour later, that employee came out of ICU.
Mm.
So mm. he just was so curious. He said, who did you pray? What did you pray?
Yeah.
And I said, okay, let me pray. So we got an hour ago from Genesis.
Yeah.
So it was a quick story, but he was ready
yeah.
at that time. Mm. So it's just mm. amazing.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. It's great. Be available. That's the biggest thing, is be available and have spiritual lenses on to identify those people that are out there that can use an encouragement and that need to know who Jesus is. So use what God's given you, whether it's your time, your talents, your treasure, all of it he's given to you. So use it to bless him and bless the people around you. John or Diane, is there a question that we need to focus on to break up into groups? I think I nudged you out of your seat.
I know. Are you done? Have you gone through everything?
Yeah, like we're 50 minutes.
So. Oh, you know what to do, just get in your small groups and talk about.